I thank the Lord for the assignment. I thank the Lord for where we're at. I thank the Lord for my wife, Diane. She travels with me. She goes with me. She ministers, and she has truly been a blessing. So that you know just a little bit about us as I begin to get started here this morning. We are native Texans. And as we say in Texas, God's a local call. But He's local anywhere and everywhere. Amen? And we've been married for almost 44 years. We got married when we was 10. And no, not really. But we pastored a church for almost 26 years where we saw God just really pour out His blessings. We had been in the administrative work now for just a little over 6 years. We're loving what God is doing, but more than that, we love people and we love helping people. Amen. I want to say to your pastor, we give honor to her. I will tell you that when we first got into Arizona, we were told about this church and about the heart they have for young people. And I will tell you that there's many people that are rooting you on, that believe in you. And I want to tell you this. Let's make next year better than this year. Amen? Let's see what we can do to change a community. And we can change the community by changing a culture. And we change a culture by changing the people. Amen? And that's what I want to talk to us about a little bit this morning is change. Take your Bibles, if you would, and open them with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I want to read just one verse. We'll pray and we'll dive into this word this morning that the Lord has given to me to share here with this congregation today. Romans chapter 12, you know, one of the interesting things about Romans and especially the Apostle Paul is that he wrote this letter to the church at Rome, but he never attended the church at Rome. When you begin to study it out and you begin to look at him, he was in prison in Rome, but he never attended the church at Rome. But he did write them a letter. He exhorted them. He gave them direction. And if there's anything that we still need in our life today, we need direction. Amen? We need direction. We never get to the place that we stop receiving direction. We never get to the place that we stop learning. Amen? Amen. So Paul's writings here in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And he says, "But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Will you pray with me? Father, I love you. I praise you and I thank you so very much for your love. I thank you, Lord, for this word. For Lord, truly, as David said, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That is what your word is to us. And Father, this morning, for just a little while, as we break this word, I ask, Lord, that it be, Lord, what is needed for each and every individual that is here. Lord, that it be strength to those who are weak, direction for those, Lord, that are looking, health to those, Lord, that are in need. And Father, I give you praise for this in Jesus, your Son's name. Amen and amen. I want to talk to us for just a little bit this morning on the thought change. As the apostle is writing here, he says, "And be not conformed to this world." This word conformed, as we would know it, doesn't just necessarily mean be molded, but it means to be tied to. So often we try to make a change while still being the person that we once were. Now, Paul told the church in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We like the part about being a new creature. The part that we resist a lot of times is where he said, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So we see in that scripture there that Paul is also addressing change. For us to be new in Christ, there are things that we must turn loose of, and there's things that we must grab a hold of. But so many times we want to love the Lord, we want to walk after God, we want to be called a child of God, but still doing the things that we used to do. Amen? We want to say, "Well, Lord, I want to carry the title of a Christian, but I still want to be the person of the world." That's when we need to step back and we need to say, we need to look at ourselves. As Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they can see the good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." That means that we've got to come to the place of understanding that as we call ourselves a child of God, people are looking at our light. Our light is what we are living. And have you heard people say, well, I thought you were a Christian? The reason they're saying that is because maybe you're doing something that just really doesn't line up with what they've read in the Word of God. You see, we've got to understand as we are living our life that people are watching everything that we say and we do. They're watching who we are. So as the apostle was talking to the church at Rome, to be not conformed, don't be tied to your old man, but know that there's something better for you. It's okay to change. But yet we resist change. We sometimes struggle. You know, when those of you who are married or you've been married, you notice that when you got married, things began to change. You had to change for your marriage to become successful. Then you had to change when your children started arriving in your home. You couldn't do the same things that you were always doing. You had to begin to change because why? You're now an example for that child that you're raising in that home. You know, I sit and I think about, excuse me, how things have changed for Diane and I through the years. And I begin to think about when we first got married, you know, we thought, hey, we were just going to make it on love. We look back at how things were back then and we wondered, how did we ever make it? And we tell some people, you know, our date night, even after we was married, was on Friday evening, and we went to Sam's. That's when Sam's Club first came out, believe it or not. You know, we saw it as it was developed, but we got us a Sam's card through my dad's church, and what we would do on Friday evening is that we'd go to Sam's and we'd walk down the aisles and eat all the samples, and then go stand in front of the TV with the VCR tape and watch the latest movie. That was our date night because we couldn't afford anything else. But as we begin to develop and as we begin to change and as we begin to see the things that were important, God began to put things around us to where we no longer had to go to Sam's on Friday night. We could eventually wind up going to Taco Bell. And then from Taco Bell to some other places. But he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transform means to be changed. I no longer want to do what I used to do, but now I want to do what He wants me to do. I no longer want to do what once had me bound, but now I want to do the things that has brought me freedom to my life, that's brought liberty to my life. You know, there's so many people that talk about how they want things to change, but yet they don't do anything themselves. Change will begin with you. You all know the definition of insanity, don't you? The definition of insanity is looking for change but still doing the same old thing over and over. For you to be able to see change, you must be willing to change. Even if starting off in the morning, I mean, people have their rituals they go through, amen? You have the things that you're going to do. You got your side of the bed that you sleep on. And I'm preaching to the choir here when I say, hey, change your side of the bed. My wife tells me that sometimes. Just let me sleep on this side. No, this has been my side for almost 44 years. There have been times that we've been traveling that she gets that side. Because in the hotel, she gets on that side first. But you see, what we've got to do to begin to see things begin to take place in our life, we've got to be willing to make that change. We can sit and talk about all the things that we want to see happen, but until we start making an effort to see that come to pass, we're never going to see a change take place. It's just like people that talk about, well, you know, I need to lose 5 pounds or I need to lose 10 pounds. And forgive me for saying it this way, but if we're going to lose some weight, we got to change some stuff. Amen? Amen. It might be we need to change the amount of consumption of food that we're taking in each day. Or it might be that we need to get up early in the morning and go walking around the block. And the reason I say early in the morning is because since our time out here in Arizona right now, I found out this state is hot. Amen? And I know that when we first got here, they said, just hang on till October. You'll really love it come October. But they said right now that it's like 115 degrees, but it says, it's a dry heat. My wife says, it may be dry, but it's still hot. Amen? But it's okay. But you know, when we begin to talk about a change, we have got to put our efforts forward. We got to begin to move forward and being able to see a change. You know, I want us to understand that the priority for change is that we got to have a plan. We got to sit down and we got to develop a plan. And as we develop this plan, we got to stick to the plan. Amen. We got to stick to this plan, and we begin to write it down. I begin to tell people this: listen, what is it that you want from the Lord? Write it down. Write it down, and when you write it down, then begin to pray about it. And then as you begin to pray about it, ask God, Lord, what do I need to do to walk into this? What do I need to do, Lord, to see this, that this is accomplished in my life? And most of the time, it's that we've got to start changing some, amen? We got to start begin developing a relationship with God like we've never had with God before. You see, the only stability and security that you have in your life is change. That's kind of like a paradox. And that means a true statement that seems to contradict itself. A true statement that contradicts itself. So the only stability and security that you have in your life is change. Stop and think about how life has changed since you were a teenager. I know some of you are teenagers. Some of you are just a little beyond the teenage. But stop and think about when you were a teenager, how things have changed since you were a teenager. I sit and I think about how things have changed in my life. I remember as a young boy before I was a teenager, you know, before we ever had cable television, before we ever had direct satellite, I was the child that went outside and grabbed the antenna and turned it so we could get a good signal. Some of you are saying, what? Turned it. I was the remote control. My dad sat in his recliner and he said, turn it to channel 4. Turn it to channel 8, turn it to channel 11. Those were about the only channels we had back then. I remember that the telephone used to be a two-party line. You would pick it up and somebody else could be talking. And you had to wait until they stopped talking before you could dial where you wanted to dial to. I remember that the phone used to only had to have 4 digits. You'd dial 4 digits and you could talk to who you needed to talk to. Now we've got, 10. That you've got to dial in at least 10 numbers before you can connect to who you want to talk to. So we see the change through time, which has made things better for us. It's made things better. Stop and think about it. No, you don't have to come get it. I'm just going to use it as illustration, okay? Nobody's calling yet. If they do, I'll answer and I'll tell them, hey, you got. But we sit and we look at one of these right here. Today it goes mobile with us anywhere we go. And the reason that we have this is because change has taken place. This is one of the changes in life that we have grown to love. Matter of fact, it is a change that we have grown to come to that we can't live without it. Amen? You can see people as they're heading out to work. The last thing they do is, look, do I have my phone with me? They're headed to church. Do I have my phone with me? They're headed to the supermarket. Do I have my phone with me? That is a change that has taken place that we seem to gravitate to. And we say, hey, I love this change. I mean, stop and think about air conditioning over the last 60 years has changed. I mean, 60 years ago, we'd have just had water coolers that had been cooling this place down. So we look at this change, and change cannot be avoided. Change is going to take place. The Bible calls it seasons. Seasons come and seasons go. They just continue to pass on. They continue to move. We continue to walk into change. We continue to walk into things that are taking place. We've even got it now to where they're moving into the area of electric cars. Way beyond the carburetors, now to fuel injected, from fuel injected, now to electric cars. We're beginning to see this change that is beginning to take place. And I'm going to tell you this, if you cannot manage change, you cannot manage your life. Change is just a process that we go through. Change is going to take place. I know that here in just a little bit, we're going to talk a little bit, but as Pastor Naomi is, she's stepping down. Some people are saying, man, I don't know what we're going to do. What we're going to do is we're going to join together as a team. We're going to join together as a body in the church. And we're going to live on everything that she's taught us. And we're going to grow to be better. Amen? Because this change, there's a purpose. Even Jesus Christ Himself, He was changed from God to human. He went to the cross and he left us in the physical, but He's still with us in the spiritual. Amen? So we look at it, you know, we live through change. Our jobs change. I just asked the question, is there anybody here that you still have the same job that you first started off with? I didn't think so. I remember some of my first jobs. I remember one job only worked for a day. You know, I was told about the great benefits, everything about this job and this, that, and the other. But it was the first time, Pastor, I'd ever worked for a place when they told you when to go to break, when to come back from break, when to go to lunch, when to come back from lunch. Before that, I'd had jobs that if you got tired, you just took a break. At other times, I had jobs that when you got ready to go to lunch, you just told your boss, hey, I'm going to lunch right now, and you'd go to lunch. But this was the place you walked in, you hit a time clock, and they told you when to go to break. Excuse me. They told you when to go to break. They told you when to come back from break. And at the end of the day, I said, you know what? Regardless of the benefits, this is not me. So I'm telling them I won't be back tomorrow. And I remember at the time I was working for my dad, and I just when I went home that night, I told my dad, Dad, they can have that job. It may have benefits, but I'm going back to work for you. I'm going to be working with you tomorrow, Dad. Why? Because I didn't want to walk through that change at that time to be able to begin to develop and to walk into something totally new. I was comfortable with the way things were. You know, so many times we get comfortable with the way things are. Going back to when I first got married, I'm going to preach about me some here, okay? There was two things that I liked. I liked meat and I liked potatoes. My wife would tell you that when we got married. She'd say, what do you want? I said, meat and potatoes. I remember the first time that she prepared the first meal with no meat. I'm like, where's the meat? It's not a meal without meat. It's just a snack. She says, no, we're just going to change some things up. I said, no, you don't understand. I spent my whole life, as far as I can remember, that every meal we had meat. Amen? But you see, there's sometimes it's okay to change. It's okay to say, you know what, I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to start doing this because it's better for me. I'm going to start walking in this area because it's better for me. I'm going to stop eating these foods because it's better for me if I leave these foods alone. You see, we're going to get to the place that we don't anchor ourselves to things. Amen? We don't allow things to say who we are, and we don't allow things to control us. If there are things that are just controlled in your life, maybe those are things that you need to change. Jesus, we just need to be pursuing God. Amen? We need to be going after Jesus. Dwight Eisenhower once said that a wise man or a brave man lies down on the tracks of history to wait for the train of the future to run over them. We don't just wait, but we're in a process. We're moving. We're looking. We're striving. That's the reason he said, search. Come after me. Seek me while I may be found. And so we're going after God. We're changing ourselves to be more like Him. Because the Bible tells us that God doesn't change. That's the only thing that does not change is God. But we change so that we can become more into the presence of the Lord God Almighty. You see, your life is not your past. Your life is your future. That's where Paul said it to the church at Philippi, Philippians 3:13. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I begin to change because I want to be better. Amen? I change because I want to know more of God. I change because I want to be in His presence more than I've ever been in His presence. Helen Keller once relayed to us this. She said, the only thing that never changes is God. But then they also asked her the question, what is worse than not having sight? And she said, worse than not having sight is not having a vision. You see, you could be blind but still have a vision. And a vision is what you're wanting to obtain. A vision is where you're wanting to go. You know, we sit and we think about who we want to be. I don't know about you, but all through my life, there's been times in my life that when I got married to Diane, I told her, I says, this is what I'm going to do. This is who I'm going to become. Now, preaching wasn't part of it, okay? I was not going to be a preacher. I was not going to be a pastor, and I sure wasn't going to be an administrative bishop or an overseer. I like the word overseer better than administrative bishop. But I wasn't going to be any of those things because pursuing God was the furthest thing from my mind. But I was telling her all the things in life I was going to achieve, all the things that I was going to accomplish, all the things that I was going to go after. She'll tell you, as I began to set my mind toward these, I began to pursue these things. But in the midst of pursuing these and accomplishing these things, I was a miserable individual. Yes, I was accomplishing things that I'd set my mind to do. Why? Because I was willing to change who I was to receive what I was going after. I'm telling us this today, is that we can have everything that we want in God. We can be everything we want to be in God, but we must be willing to change to go after God. Amen? We must be willing to pursue God like we have never pursued God before, so that we can come into His presence. It's the reason He said, those that wait upon the Lord, He shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and never faint. Why? Because we're pursuing God. And we're saying, Lord, whatever I got to do. You remember in Mark chapter 10, when Jesus went through Jericho and He came out of Jericho, and there was a man that was sitting by the highway side of begging by the name of Bartimaeus. When Jesus called Bartimaeus to come to Him, the first thing Bartimaeus did was he took his jacket off. That jacket represented his inability to take care of himself. That jacket represented his blindness. That jacket represented his handicap. But because he was going to Jesus, he said, things are going to change. And so he started the transition. He started the change. He took the robe and he cast it off. And he came into the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And he was healed. He was set free. His life began to change. No longer was he just sitting and begging and asking alms of people. But now he had received his sight. He was now equipped to be able to take care of himself. I'm saying, church, we must understand that God is going to get us to the place that we no longer have to depend on this. And we no longer have to depend on that. And we no longer have to depend on this situation, but God is our pilot. Amen. And He's going to lead us, He's going to guide us, and He's going to direct us. I was thinking about Pastor Naomi's family up here, daughters and grandchildren, and the great grandchild that was crying, and that's life. Amen. I love to hear life. And I begin to think about her husband as he pastored here, and then she's pastored here. And now as it's coming to a transition, some people are going to wonder, how are we ever going to make it? I know my dad, when he pastored, I got three sisters and two brothers. But I got three sisters that they thought my dad was everything. They thought he was all. They thought he was God. And when my dad came to the place of resigning because of health reasons, my sisters also resigned. They stopped pursuing God because Dad's no longer in the pulpit, so I can't be there. And then when my dad passed away, they began to say, how could there be a God? Because my dad's gone. But through the years and through time, my sisters have seen that they can pursue the God that my dad served. And they've been calling upon the God that my dad served, and they've been pursuing that God. But at first, you know, this change is, how are we ever going to make it? How's it ever going to come to pass? And what's going to take place and what's going to happen? Church, the thing is that we don't worry about how we're going to make it. The thing is that we keep walking. We keep pressing forward. Because as long as we keep walking, we keep pressing forward, everything's going to be all right. Because He goes before us and He makes ways where there seems to be no ways. He goes before us and He makes the crooked places straight. The things that Pastor Naomi has left for us, the things that her husband has left for us here, it's a foundation for us to build upon, for us to continue to move forward. We see, as I'm coming to the close of this sermon here this morning, I want to ask you, you know, how many of you have you felt the Lord nudge you to do something just a little different? I remember back when I first accepted the call of ministry into my life, that my study time was at night. Some of you may say, well, that's my study time too. But I remember when the Lord began to change me from my study time to be in the morning. And that meant I had to get up earlier. That meant God was changing me because I was not an early person. I was not somebody that looked to get up before the sun began to rise. I wasn't somebody that looked to get up to do this. But in the midst of God beginning to change me and me pursuing Him, I had to come to the place of saying, okay, Lord, this is what You want. This is what I'm going to do. And can I tell you that as I began to study the Word in the morning, it was though the Word become more alive to me because I was fresher at this time. I didn't have a lot of things clouding my mind. I didn't have a lot of things that I was already thinking about. You know, and so as you sit here this morning, it may be that God is beginning to challenge you to do some things, to change some things about what you do, how you do. It may be that He's warning you to maybe become a part of social media and getting up every day and maybe posting a devotion. It may just be a one-sentence devotion that you're going to post on social media that people can see that's going to give them inspiration. That's going to give them hope. That's going to give them some courage. And it may be a word that they needed for that day. You see, we all have a different part that we got to do for the kingdom. But sometimes we resist the change. We resist doing something different. We resist saying, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, I can't do that. I think about in the area of ministry that I'm in now as an administrative bishop. I was happy being a pastor. Had a growing church. Had a lot of ministry going on. Had a lot of things happening. My family was, my children, my grandchildren, they were at the church. I mean, it was almost like heaven on earth. But on that Thursday afternoon in July, in August of 2018, the Lord saw the reason to make a shift and to make a change. I hadn't told anybody I wanted to be an overseer. I hadn't made no phone calls. I hadn't done anything. But it was through prayer that Diane and I are where we're at. I will tell you that the beginning steps were very hard. They were different. Because you went from leading a group of people that you were with week in and week out to leading pastors and to leading congregations that you don't communicate with as much as you were communicating with them. But the thing is that we have, and I have, refocused my thoughts. I've refocused what I'm doing. I prepared myself for this because our greater days are in front of us. I sat and I look at this church this morning and I think about how you're so involved in the children's ministry and the youth ministry. And I'm saying, wouldn't it be so great if Jesus hadn't come back to get us that in 2 years you're having to knock the walls out to make things bigger in here because of the young people that are starting to come in and then starting to bring their families in here. Amen? Change. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This morning, how many of you in here would say, Brother Binion, there's been things that I felt that I need to change. There's some things that I felt that I need to do different. But I've been resisting those things because change is something new. Change is something different. And I'm not sure if I can do it. Because a lot of times we're fearful of making that change because we're afraid of failing. Amen? We're afraid of making a mistake and people looking at us and beginning to point out our mistakes. But can I tell you this? Don't be afraid of a mistake. Mistakes can only be done by individuals who are willing to do something. If you've never made a mistake, that means you've never been willing to change. So it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to begin to move forward. It's okay to say, Lord, mold me. As the sister sung about the potter, knowing what the clay can do. The Lord knows what we're capable of. Can we just give Him everything and be in His hands and let Him begin to change us? Let Him begin to mold us into what He would have us to be. As I pray this morning, and you're here, every head bowed, every eye closed, and as I pray this morning, if you're here and you just need the strength to change, I want to ask you to get up from where you're sitting, make your way up here to the front, and we're going to lay hands on you and we're going to pray with you. But as I pray this morning, I'm going to pray, Lord, as we come to you in the lovely and holy name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, I thank you, Lord, for who you are, and I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you, Lord, for the changes that we have been through in our life. I thank you, Lord, for the changes that we've been through in our society. And Lord, your word has told us that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither is it in the heart of man, the things that you have prepared for those who love you. Father, let us not resist the change that you're leading us through. Let us not resist, Lord, the change that we are walking through. And Father, if there's somebody here this morning that they just need the power, they need somebody to agree with them to walk through the change that they are going through, I ask, Lord, that they would stand, Lord, and they would come and we would agree together because, Lord, we're two agree touching. Lord, you're in the midst. Lord, whatever that change may be, if it's a change in how we pray, if it's a change in how we study, if it's a change, Lord, in how we witness, Lord, whatever we've got to do, Lord, to be more like you, Lord, that's what we're willing to do. Lord, we're willing, God, to put our best foot forward. We're willing, Lord, to change whatever we need to change. Father, be with us. Embrace us in your love and embrace us in your power. In Jesus, your Son's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Brother Bob, how do we turn this off here?